Hello, and welcome to SpringFord's very first podcast, The Ramcast. My name is Erin Crew. I'm the Director of Communications, Marketing, and Media here for the school district. And with me is Andrew Rothermel, our Manager of Communications Media. Hi, Andrew.
Hello, Erin. How are you today?
I'm well, thanks. How are you?
Fantastic. Happy New Year. Welcome back.
Thank you. Really excited to be here in the broadcast studio at the high school for our very first podcast.
Yes. So, Erin, why did we decide to do this podcast?
As a district, we're always looking to expand what we're doing, both in and out of the classrooms. A podcast is just another way to reach our families and our community members. We're right next to 422, so we know that we've got people traveling every day. Hopefully, if you're on 422, you're moving. If you're sitting in traffic, I feel you. We're going to get through it together, though. We have episodes coming up roughly 30 minutes long, and we're going to talk to almost everybody in the district. You know, we have 26 episodes that we're going to be recording, but we have 50,000 residents in our footprint. We have roughly 8,000 students, about 1,200 faculty staff. So with 26 episodes, it sounds like a big number, but we're just barely scratching the surface here. So we're really hoping to shed a light on what's happening in our district. Andrew, one thing we want to do each week is share the word of the day. And for me, today is the word new. Seems pretty basic, but we have a new podcast, a new year. We're in 2020 now. We're going to talk to new people that we haven't talked to before. We're going to use this new format, this new studio. Everything about what we're doing here is new. So for me, today, the word of the day is new. How about you?
I'm going to go right along with new and use the word modern. Everything we're doing that is new is also modern. As a district, we're modernizing our learning. This whole entire building that we're in is becoming much more modern. The studio that we're in is modern. And this is a plug, RCTV studio is very modern. So I think that's going to be my word today. Everything around here is new and modern.
I like it. Two excellent words to keep it simple, but also explain what we're doing here. So let's jump right in. We have three guests today. We're going to start off with Dr. Nugent, our principal here at the 1012 Center. He's not only a principal, he was a coach in his time here. He was also a teacher. He is a former SpringFord student himself. He really, truly bleeds blue and gold. And then right after Dr. Nugent, we'll be talking to our two media specialists at the high school, Chad Brubaker and Melanie Bowen. So let's jump right into it. Dr. Nugent, thanks for coming in. We're here today to learn a little bit more about the Media Center here, and we want to hear from you how we got to this point, changing from a traditional library to a media center.
Well, it was a great question. So it took us some time for sure. There's a transformation began really over the course of time. Makerspaces started becoming more popular. There was a lot of voice about those, a lot of media press about the makerspace arena. And we spent some time looking at some different libraries. We actually worked with our media specialists at the time. We had Mr. Brubaker and Mrs. O'Brien. And we started contemplating what this might look like. So we spent some time. One of the first things we did was we actually transitioned from our loft area to a cafe. That was one of the first pieces to the change. Mr. Brubaker, when he was at Wilson High School before he moved to the SpringFord School District as a media specialist there, he had started a cafe, and he wanted to bring that concept to SpringFord. So I embraced the concept, and we took some time and made some decisions, and that was the first transition piece, and that kind of started the ball rolling to get us into where we are today. From there, from looking at makerspace areas and some different things, we had some research to do, and we did, and we started thinking, hey, we could do this, and we started thinking, how could we do this without asking the school district for any funding at all? So we got creative and used some different grant opportunities. And in doing so, one of the first tasks was to look at all the books we had, all the hard copies, all the paper copies, which unfortunately were no longer being checked out by students. The computer age and the resources available to our students on computer databases really took the print material out of the picture. So one of the tasks at hand, which was painful in some ways, was to weed a lot of our hard copy, paper copies in the media center. And we did do a lot of weeding. And with that, that created space because the carols that we're traditionally used to in the library were not necessary anymore. So we started to remove those and repurpose those around the district as well. And that created empty space. And from there, we looked at the different makerspace areas that were around. Penn State was the one that we looked at, the University Park. And we spent some time looking at that. And that's where we came up with the idea of three distinct areas within our innovation center, which is what we call it now. And one would be an audio studio, where we're sitting now. And two would be a television studio, a one-button television studio, so that students could record videos very simply for classes, whatever the case may be, if teachers had assignments, et cetera. And then also the true element of a makerspace. So in that area, we have 3D and 4D printers, a Glowforge printer. We have tools and areas where students can create and make pretty much anything you want to make. So some of our teachers have embraced that as well. So really that took care of one side of the media center. The other side, where we did remove some carrels, we bought some new furniture, some more of the comfy type furniture, more of the lounge type furniture. So our students, I think it's a comfortable environment. It's a really great place. If people haven't seen it, they really should get in to see it because of the daylight. That the natural daylight that we have, and also just the structure of it. So it's quiet, it's very workable, and it's really the transition that we made. So it took us a while, a couple years, but now we're just working on getting the kids to come in and use it. And we're starting to get some use.
Well, thanks so much for coming on to our first episode of the Ramcast. We'll definitely have you back for a few more, and we look forward to talking to you in the future.
All right, thanks. I look forward to it.
Thank you. Back with Chad Brubaker and Melanie Bowen, our media specialists. Welcome. You really Thanks. Should be welcoming us because this is your space.
Well, it's everybody's space.
Mm-hmm. We're just the guardians, but welcome.
Thank you. So we're here today. This is our first podcast. We all just celebrated New Year's. Did you guys do anything fun? Any resolutions for the new year?
No, they're just the typical ones that I'll probably break in a couple weeks.
Yeah. Other than that, yeah. Well, we'll see.
Yeah. Well, maybe this year will be the year. Yeah. So let's jump right in. We're in a room set up specifically for recording audio engineering in the Innovation Center, which is part of the Media Center. That's a mouthful. Can you tell us a little bit about the changes that have been taking place here over the past few years?
Yeah. So some of the things that have happened, the library... Well, it's now called a media center, but for everybody out there, the traditional library is no longer really in existence. It's a changed space involving more technology. In fact, as we go forward with the one-to-one, we will probably become the hub of the more like the traditional library that it was the hub of the entire high school, because kids will probably be, you know, bringing their laptops and things up here to be charged and all kinds of things like that. So the changes that have taken place already is that we have three new studios that took place about 2 years ago when we got it up and going. The audio studio, which we're sitting in, the broadcasting studio, which is next door, mm-hmm. and the makerspace, and it's housed under the name the Innovation Center. We're taking baby steps. It's new for both myself and Mel to, get going. But we're getting classes up here now. We're getting students that are their interests are piqued, and they want to see what things they can create up here. And there's a lot that they can do.
And I think the course selection guide is going to come out in a few weeks. But spoiler alert, do we have a new class next year?
A new media minor, okay. which is going to encompass a sort of certification in each of these innovation spaces. The kids are going to learn how to use all of the equipment, all of the technology, and then, so that'll be the first part of the course. The second part of the course will be project-based, so they'll be using what they learned. We're really excited about it because we're going to get kids in here who will know how to use the equipment and use it effectively.
One of the problems that we've had so far is a logistical issue. Meaning what I mean by that is there's only 7 periods in our high school day. And the kids' schedules are really packed. And when they do have a study hall, they almost have to use it for all their academic courses. And so there has been some growing pains in terms of trying to get kids up here. You know, the kids don't necessarily have a lot of time for independent projects or to take something on. They have to be really, really motivated, really interested. So this media minor, we feel is a game changer because now it's built into the schedule. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of kids that were really interested in doing things up here, but their schedules really didn't allow them to take on a huge project.
And that time,
and this will.
Sorry, that time that they are spending up here initially is trying to figure out how to use this stuff that's here. And there's only 2 of us as well. So it's been tricky, like Chad said, logistically to show them how to use it. But now it'll be built into their curriculum.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's really exciting. So this time next year, we could have students in here helping with the recording of this podcast.
Exactly.
They could be doing their own. We could be housing multiple podcasts on the website.
Right. And that's kind of the idea, too, with that class is for those students to kind of be, what do they call the at Best Buy? Like the Geek Squad?
Yeah.
A version of that where they can help students. Because, again, Melanie just referenced that it's just us up here. And that's just adds another layer for them to help kids when we're unavailable or with a class or whatever. So we're excited about that.
So while we don't call it a library anymore, you do
sometimes
still,
it slips.
You do still
you know
have
how
books.
That happens.
You've
we
got
do.
Books here, right?
We do. Okay. And do, kids still do a ton of reading for pleasure. We still have a library club. We still participate in Reading Olympics. So don't worry. There are still lots of books up here that people can read.
The difference between the traditional library and now kind of the media center, the difference in terms of print materials is almost exclusively the library is for the print material side of it. The library is almost for like independent reading because our society has, we don't buy reference books anymore. You know, because the reference books, as soon as they're published, they're out of date. So it's a waste of resources, you know, on our part to purchase reference books because, A, the kids aren't using them, but, you know, for those other reasons. So most of the things that we're purchasing in terms of print materials are things that would be of interest to students to read independently.
Mm-hmm. Or for pleasure. Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's what I mean.
Yep. Yeah. We also have kind of a collegiate vibe in the media center because we've got the cafe, the primary source cafe, mm-hmm. which hasn't come up yet, but it's up there. And kids come up and they collaborate and they sip their coffee and they do their reading or for pleasure or for school. And it's a real functioning space. Like people are productive up here. It's kind of neat to see.
So speaking of the space, the whole place is really amazing. There is furniture that's movable. It's conducive to the way kids learn today, the way they move around, the way they interact. You don't have to be quiet in here either, which still for me is a little weird. I kind of whisper when I come in. How important was it for you to break that old quote, like library stigma, when introducing this new space to students?
Well, I first have to say that Dr. Nugent was very instrumental, like, and drove everything that we're doing up here. I mean, we had Mrs. O'Brien, who just retired, and I had a lot of different visions, but none of that could happen without Dr. Nugent's support. So he was very supportive of those things. But we have high tables, like pub-style tables for kids to sit at. We have couches essentially or not love seats. What's a single sofa called?
A chair.
Like a oversized
chair. A comfy chair.
An oversized chair.
With USB ports that they can plug in and charge. It's very forward thinking.
Yeah. So that was really important to us to kind of get more of a college student center vibe mm-hmm. than we had previously.
So what would you say the most used space is in the entire media center?
It's interesting. I guess I would say it depends on the time of day. Mm-hmm. Before school, it's the general space, the open space, because kids come up, meet each other, see they're doing homework, they're talking, they're socializing. And then periods, well, the cafe is open before school through third period. So depending on the day, that could be the most active place. But sometimes there's a class in the computer lab. So that would be, you know, on a particular day. And then this week we had a very, you know, hectic week for us because we had probably 8 or more English classes in throughout the day. Well, more than that, mm-hmm. Throughout the day, some overlapping, for a major project that they had to use one of the studios. So we were running back and forth and helping students. And the cool thing, I think Melanie would agree with me, is we're learning too, which is good. I don't like to be stagnant, and I don't like to be in one place, and I like to keep learning. And this is just the perfect spot for me right now, as I'm learning new things every day. And that's really exciting. And I learn with the kids, or sometimes the kids teach me something that, you know, makes me more efficient. And I really enjoy that.
And this is my first year in the Media Center, so I have learned a ton in the short time that I've been here. But like Chad said, it's just every day it's something new, and we've got our hands on stuff that I certainly didn't have the opportunity to do as a history teacher, which is what I did before I moved up here. And it's really been exciting. And I'm still teaching, but I'm also learning and advancing my skills. And it's just been a lot of fun, and Chad's been a great teacher. So.
Thank you.
So, Mel, your 19th year at Springford.
How'd that happen?
Your first year up here.
Well, if you count the four when I was a student, it's my 23rd year, but go ahead.
What's your favorite thing to make in the makerspace?
Well, I've really been having a good time with the Glowforge laser printer. It's this incredible piece of machinery that will engrave just about anything you can imagine onto most materials. And it's just coming through the holiday season. There were some great gifts that came out of our innovation space. The kids, we set up some project ideas for the kids to do. So I would definitely say that I've had a lot of fun creating ornaments and customized cutting boards and decorative signs and things like that with the Glowforge. And we've had a lot of staff and students take advantage of that. So that was a lot of fun to see.
Great. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to turn it over to Andrew. He has 5 pressing questions for each of you.
Okay.
This is my favorite segment, the random questions.
Right, well, I see what you did there.
We'll start with Mel. Mel, cats or dogs?
Cats.
What's your favorite pizza topping?
Cheese.
Who was the last person you texted?
Chad.
What is the worst job you ever had?
Ooh, let's see. One summer, the summer before I went off to college, I worked at the Valley Forge Flag Company in Spring City, making stick flags. And while it wasn't a terrible environment, it wasn't very exciting. I just sewed all day. I rocked back and forth and made flags on a sewing machine, which I think was a valuable thing to share with my students when I taught about sweatshops.
It's kind of the original makerspace.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
It's in your blood.
It's true.
All right, Mel, my last and most important question, what is your favorite thing to watch on RCTV?
Well, obviously the gridiron. I'm learning so much about football in addition to all of the cool innovation space stuff. So,
all right, Chad, it's your turn.
Do I get the same ones, hopefully? Oh, because I was trying to think.
No, you get all different ones. Chad, where is your favorite place on Earth?
So my wife and I love to go up to the Catskills. We've done it the past couple summers and tried to find different places up there. And it's just really, really peaceful. And then, you know, there's all these small towns to kind of explore. We really like that.
What is your favorite TV show?
Oh, that's
it doesn't have to be one that you're on.
Yeah, huh?
It doesn't have to be one that you're on.
Yeah, no. At the risk of really incriminating myself, I'm going to say Family Guy is the one that I watch the most. At the end of the day, sometimes we're cooked, and I love to go home. I watch things that are funny for the most part, and that tends to crack me up the most. So
some mindless humor.
Exactly.
Are you a morning or night person?
Do I have to answer one or the other? Can I explain? Sometimes morning, sometimes it depends.
Okay.
It depends on the on weekends. Outside of football season, I am not a morning person. The rest of the year, I'm a morning person just out of necessity.
Okay. Give one piece of advice to your younger self.
Well, I get this email in the mornings from this, I guess you would call him a motivational speaker, and it was about self-judgment and how important that is, but understanding that criticism from the outside is just noise, and it's just throwing things at the wall without evidence. And sometimes that stuff, you know, affects you or hurts you, or, you know, but it ultimately is just coming from a place of ignorance, and not meaning that they don't really know what any of the things that led up to a certain decision or thing that they're trying to quote unquote judge. It's not really a judgment. So focus on the fact that you're always still learning and you're imperfect. And when you mess up, it's just another step towards becoming better.
All right. And finally, what is your favorite thing to watch on RCTV?
My favorite thing to watch. Oh, well, my favorite thing to watch, not produce, is my favorite thing is Courtside with Chris Talley. I really enjoy watching that show and catching up with, you know, the basketball season and what's going on and getting all the inside info.
All right. And that's all of my random questions for you guys.
Pretty good.
Well, thanks so much for hosting us. We'll be seeing you a lot this year. We have 26 episodes planned out. Podcast is going to be every other week, hopefully coming out on Wednesday. So we'll see you.
Great.
That's a awesome. Whole lot.
Wonderful. Happy Thank New you. Year.
Well, we're excited because that's what this whole studio is about, too. Mm-hmm. So just we want students to use it, staff to use it, and it's just great to see.
Great. Thank you.
All right.
So, Andrew, that's it. Our first inaugural episode of the Ramcast is in the books. What do you think? How did it go?
It went really well. It was nice to talk to Pat, mm-hmm. Mel, and Shad.
Yep.
And we're going to be working a lot with them. Yep. So it went very well. I'm looking forward to the next 25 episodes this year.
Yep. So you're gonna come back for the next one?
I'll be back.
You're in it for good?
Yep.
Okay. I want to thank as well Rich Prevetti, our audiovisual specialist, our AV tech guy, who is making all the magic happen in the booth right next to us here. Without Rich, we probably would have been here for a couple more hours, but he's making everything come together for us. So thanks, Rich. On behalf of the whole communications team, I'm Erin Crew. Thanks, Springford. We'll talk to you later.